Hey guys, and welcome back to another Diamond Discussion Short alongside my co-host Joe Stumpo. I'm Mike Caliendo. Now, let me just put it to you this way, guys. We had to build up a pretty big appetite for this one because we got some words to eat. In regarding to Vlad signing his extension on one of our more recent episodes a few weeks ago, Mark Shapiro, the president of baseball operations with Toronto Blue Jays, had come out and said that he was fairly optimistic that he was going to get a deal done with Vlad Jr. And you and I trashed him on our show.
Absolutely. And that's a, I don't know how you feel, but that's a hill I'll die on because they looked like there was nothing going on there. They re-signed Alejandro Kirk to a five-year, $58 million deal. The Vladdy deadline had passed. It didn't look like that they were going to strike a deal in the middle of the year due to the fact that Vladdy said he didn't want to focus on, re-signing a deal in the middle of the season. That's why he had that deadline, and they got it done. Kudos to the Blue Jays. They finally keep a superstar that they had in-house, and he's not going to go to a different team and possibly a contender. So the Blue Jays keep him at home, and I think it's a great thing for the city of Toronto. I think it is a great thing for Canada as a whole, for baseball. And like I said, I think it's great for Vladdy as well. And the intricacies of this deal is also something new that we haven't seen with the bonus. Mike, if you want to get into the bonus a little bit and how that was breaking down.
All right, so the entire deal is a 14-year deal, which will bring Vladdy up to about, 40, 41 years old. It's for $500 million, but here's the interesting part. There is a $325 million signing bonus. No, that does not mean that the deal is $825 million. It's just out of the $500, $325 of it is considered a signing bonus. Now, it's also not up front. It's going to be spread out through over the 14 years. The exact amount, I don't think, is out there. We haven't seen it. So there's that. So his actual base salary is going to be at $175 million. But the signing bonus, and what makes that interesting, is the fact that when you have a signing bonus, that gets taxed based on the state you live in. Well, Vladdy resides in Florida, and there is no state tax there. So he's getting all of that money.
And whoever worked this out, the Blue Jays, Vladdy's agents, phenomenal. What a great idea, honestly, because like the Dodgers have been doing with the deferrals, I think this is going to be a trickle-down effect. I think other teams are going to start doing this. I think this is not the last of this being something that we're going to see, and it goes away. No, I think teams are going to really use this to their advantage. If they have players that live in Florida, Arizona, Texas, places where there's no state tax, you could literally use that as a bargaining chip. And I think whoever, like I said, the Blue Jays side, Vladdy's side, whoever thought of that is completely a genius because it's going to be something that we're not going to, it's not going to be the last of it, like I said. I think there's other teams that are operating in high tax areas. For example, LA, New York, Toronto, they have high tax thresholds. And to work a deal out like that, where it benefits the player and the organization, this is not the last we've seen of this. I think this is just the first of many deals where you're going to see signing bonuses be spread out, maybe given up front, and the tax implications are better for the player, and it works for both sides.
So, listen, if I'm an MLB owner, I am buying up as much real estate in Florida, in Arizona,
Las Vegas,
and all those states that don't have state tax.
Yeah, it makes the most sense. It really does.
That's what I'm doing. So until we see the Dodgers owners and Steve Cohen buying up a ton of real estate in these states, then the rule probably won't be changed. But until that, we'll have the rule change with that because the Steve Cohen tax, if you guys remember. but listen, the other interesting part about this is, and look, it's not something everybody thinks about, but it's also a part of the reality, is, when a player goes on the road, like when Vlad comes to New York, and he does that fairly often, especially now he plays against the Mets too, they also get taxed based on the state they're playing in, right, on a road game.
Yes, yes.
So this also eliminates that as well. So, this is, I love this. Not to mention the fact that I love the fact that Vlad is staying put. I love that hometown kid is staying at home. And it's not just, oh, he came up through the Toronto organization. No, he was born in Canada. You know, his father played for the Expos at the time. And there was that famous picture of Vlad Sr. and Jr. out on the field in the Expos uniform. Yeah, yeah. That's amazing. It's unfortunate it's not for the Expos, but that's a story for another day, I guess. That's true. But I love this. I love the fact that the hometown kid is staying put, staying home, regardless of the rumors about him potentially coming to my team with the Mets. Listen, this is good for baseball. This is a good balance of power move. I think it keeps everything more competitive in the AL East. And like I can't express how much I actually do love it.
Well, as a Yankee fan, put it this way. I love it too. And I bet you Yankee fans out there, if they're listening, think I'm crazy. The reason why I think it's a great thing is that I don't want to hear if the Yankees win the next three divisions in a row that, oh, you didn't have Vladdy in the East and the you know, division is weak and it's a cakewalk, all that stuff that, you know, that Fairweather fans come out of the woodwork with. So I'm actually happy he is staying because now it's going to be just as competitive. So I think it's great. Like you said, it's great for baseball. It's great for the country of Canada as a whole, keeping him there. It's great for the city of Toronto. And like I said, I don't think it's the last that we're going to see of bonuses highlighting the deals in the future for all these players that are going to be in free agency. I think it's going to be, like I said, a bargaining chip that players are going to use. And I think other organizations are going to play into it as well because it's going to keep players in the mix. And I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the Pirates ownership should start buying real estate down in Florida.
They better do something over there because Paul Skeens is going to be leaving. We'll get to that another day, but I can't see it happening.
But here's the other side to this coin. Going into next offseason, Vlad was the clear top dog of this free agent class, at least for the hitters.
Absolutely.
And this next offseason on the hitting aspect, it has solid players, but it's not as strong as we've seen. This is a very pitcher-heavy offseason. Now, first base, for example, the only clear-cut, unrestricted free agent top name going into next offseason is going to be Josh Naylor. And the other options are going to be Pete Alonso, and we know what he's doing right now. He's lighting the league on fire. He has a player option, and I'll tell you right now, if he continues down the path that he's on, he is not picking up that player option. He will become a free agent looking to get his money. On the other side of that, you have Max Muncy out in L.A. I know he plays more third base now, but that's because Freddie's at first. Max could play just about anywhere in the infield except shortstop. But he has a club option. Who knows if LA picks that up? They, you never know with LA. A crosstown rival, you guys, Bellinger has a player option, which I fully anticipate he's not going to take either. I think he's going to look to sign something more long term. And the other one that I was looking at that could be an option is Rhys Hoskins. They have a mutual option out in Milwaukee. I could pray if Alonso walks. I'd rather a glove and a hat play first than Rhys Hoskins in New York. That's just for that. But those are the potential options. And then across the whole pond, you got Munetaka Murakami being potentially more than likely going to be posted coming out of Japan. He's a third baseman, also potentially looking to more play first when he comes over to America. So those are your options at first. With that list, with those guys, I think Pete Alonso is miles above these guys. And there's no disrespect to him as players, but it's Pete Alonso. Let's be honest here. He's a dog at the plate. He hits a ton of home runs. He drives in a ton of runs when he's on. And right now, he's on. So, I mean, does this put more pressure on the teams that maybe had sights on Vlad, like the Red Sox, like the Mets, like the Yankees? What does this mean for free agency?
Well, here's my take with the Mets. I think with the Mets, it's kind of a blessing in disguise, and maybe Mets fans are like probably listening and saying, what the hell is he talking about? I personally think the Mets need to focus on pitching. Look, the pitching has been phenomenal. Jeremy Hefner has done a great job this year and in years past with the bullpen especially and the starting pitching. I just don't know how much of a Griffin Canning and a Sean Manaea and all these guys that you could really rely on. Manaea's been out, the first couple of weeks. Montas is out. We don't know when he's going to be back. Kodai Senga is literally pitching out of the fifth slot, which is not something that he's customarily usually doing. And, you know, I think they just need a big name. Not just to, appease the fan base and get a big name. I think they need somebody to solidify the top of the rotation. You got guys like Zach Gallen, Michael King, Framber Valdez is somebody that you could maybe get on a 3-year deal because he's in his age 32 season at the end of the year. You know, you don't have to give him a long-term deal, even though he may be looking for 5 years. You could probably get him for 3 with maybe like a club option for a 4th year. I think the Mets need to focus their energy on pitching and continue the, you know, with the development of their young guys as well. You know, guys like Sproat and all that. But for the Yankees, I think that if they go out and they get Kyle Tucker, they probably are going to look to sign Bellinger and move him to first. I don't know if Bellinger's going to have that crazy of a year where he'll have the leverage to opt out and ask for more money. If he does, kudos to him for trying. But I think he's going to have 25 to 30 homers, 90 to 100 RBIs, and hit 270 or higher in order to have that leverage. I think he gets moved to first base, and then you'll have an outfield maybe consisting of Jason Dominguez, Kyle Tucker, or Aaron Judge, or maybe Dominguez is not in the plans, and it's Kyle Tucker, Judge, and Spencer Jones. So the Yankees have, you know, some ways that they could pivot. I think it's going to be a little bit easier for the Mets because I think that their offense, after solidifying Alonso in that lineup, I think they could just focus on pitching. I really think it's going to be a lot easier for them because the Yankees are also in on Murakami as well. So there's a bunch of ways they could go. I don't think the Mets have really been in on Murakami. They don't really need Murakami at this point, unless they lose Alonso and they want to go Murakami at first. But to me, I think the Mets' offense is good enough to the point where they can solidify the pitching a little bit more.
Yeah, I would like them to go get some pitching next season. But the funny thing about that is, as much as I would love to see it, you got a couple of guys in the system, Sproat you mentioned, you know, that if they come up and they light it up, I don't want to say you're golden because, you know, listen, you got Senga. I think he's got a mutual or a club option or whatever it is, but he's also got a year left after that. I would love for him to stay. I think he's happy where he is, so I could see him re-signing with the Mets as long as he performs. Minaya's, you know, inked up for another couple of years, so that's fine. But outside of them too, you know, what do you really have? And then there's Christian Scott, who's coming off Tommy John surgery. Another high prospect in the Mets organization that's fallen off of the last couple of years due to injury has been Matt Allen. And I think he threw either yesterday or today for the first time in a season game in like 4 years. And he looked fairly good. So that would always be nice. The comeback story, that would be great, you know, if he could figure it out. But I do agree with you. They need a stopper. They need a guy. If you're in a 3-4 game skid, you get to this guy and you know, like, he's going to get the ball and he's going to, you know, lock things down. So I almost agree with you in the sense of it could be a blessing in disguise, but that also means that Alonso returns and they lock him up long term. I was very frustrated with the whole negotiations last offseason with Alonso, and it wasn't necessarily because I didn't want him on the team. No, I want him on the team. I'm all about that homegrown stuff. But it was just exhausting. It was more exhausting than the Soto thing. There was a ton of drama there, this team, that team, hoping my team would get him, whatever, fine. Alonso's just dragged and made me want to rip my hair out.
Well, Scott Boras is the main reason for that.
Yeah, of course.
He's the problem in all that. So I think everybody knows that as well.
Yeah, but listen, even going into the hitter side of free agency, you got two guys that are question marks if they're going to take their options or not, and that's Alonso and Bregman. Other than that, Kyle Tucker, Kyle Schwarber, JT Realmuto, Marcelo Ozuna are the real big bats in this free agent class. And then there are the guys with club and mutual options and all things of that. But we don't know until we know that they're, you know, not going to be back with their respective teams. So that's just speculation at this point. But those are the guys that are going to be out there. They're the headlines. They're the headlining bats. So like you said, it's very pitcher heavy this next offseason. So that's where I think the Mets need to go after. They need to go after, obviously, some pitching. So I agree with that. As far as the Yankees go, you know what? It's really funny how you could try and piece this team together because I've mentioned this before. You're potentially set up to almost have the same exact offseason as you did this year because you're going to need a first baseman. Obviously, Goldschmidt's on a 1-year deal.
Right.
You don't know if Bellinger's coming back 100%, and even if he does, it's only for another year. What are you going to do with Devin Williams? You're going to either re-sign him or move on. You know, there's going to be a lot of things. And I know you guys seem to be heavy on Murakami. I think he's a great fit for you. I obviously, I don't really want to see it, but if it means he doesn't go to the Dodgers, I'll take it. I'll take it in any way. I think that kid's going to be a superstar.
He's going to be a beast. And his agent, I think, has ties to New York, mm-hmm. I believe. But I don't take that as
well. Roky Sasaki also loved Jeremy Hefner,
so. Right? So he wanted to pitch in a small market, and he signs with LA. Yeah. So I don't believe it until I see it. Like I said, I think he's going to be a phenomenal talent, but I have to see it to believe it. And I think the Yankees are going to have to pivot before they deal with Murakami. There's going to be things that, like you said, they're going to have to fill some holes, and what's going to happen with Devin Williams and Cody Bellinger. And I think you have to shore those things up first before you go for a guy like Murakami, because you have to give those players their right and kind of figure out what their option is going to be and what you're going to do and what it's going to look like for financially on the books, you know, as well. So, and, you know, the Steinbrenners they look to you know, count their dollars a little bit more closely now because of the tax threshold and all the luxury tax sharing and the revenue sharing. So it's going to be interesting to see what goes on with Murakami and how everything unfolds for both New York teams.
Isn't that funny? The Vladdy effect. We're talking about the next offseason, 2 weeks into this season. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it's because it's important. And we were talking about this off air, about an hour before we started recording, that most conversations haven't been bringing this up. They just talk about the contract. They've talked about the bonus. They talk about how he stays in the AL East. But they haven't talked about the effects on the players that are going to be coming in after the 2025 season is done and what these free agents, what it means for them. So for a guy like, Alonso, who's having a monster year right now, if that continues for the whole year, he's opting out, like you said.
Yep.
And there is no Vladdy now to go back on.
Yeah.
To say, hey, you know what? You can get your bag. You're 30 years old. Go find it somewhere else. We're going to focus our sights elsewhere. There's not really an elsewhere to focus on. Like you said, Josh Naylor is a possibility. But that's really it. If they don't look at Murakami or Josh Naylor, there's not a lot of first basemen left available in the free market. You want to go make a trade, very well, you could, but that means you're mortgaging some talent in the prospect area. I don't know. It's going to be very interesting, and that's why we call it the Vladdy effect, because this is literally the effect of him signing before the season ends. And even if he would have signed with Toronto after the season, the effect is actually greater now. Because now the players have to perform and maintain that credibility of getting a big deal, just like Vladdy did.
Well, you know what? And like you said, everybody moves up a spot now in this offseason. So Kyle Tucker is now going to be the coveted prize going into next season, unless, who knows, maybe he signs an extension with Chicago. I don't think that's likely. Because, you know, he basically came out and gave the real professional answer. You know, I'm focusing on this year with the Cubs. And, you know, when I get to free agency, you know, I'm listening. Is basically paraphrasing what he said. And the Cubs seem very aggressive to try to get something done with that. So, I mean, again, time will tell. But could you imagine now the two names that everybody's looking for to be free agents next year and see where they go? Hopefully my team. No, not your team. And these two guys get taken off the board because they signed extensions. I think that would be really interesting. And it would only push, I think, a guy like Alonso and Bregman to say, you know what? We're going to headline this class. We're opting out for sure, no matter what.
Right. And look, and a team like the Red Sox, just to get into them really quick, they were looking at trading Tristan Cassis for an arm.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you trade Cassis. What are you doing at first? There is no Vladdy at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another big thing for them. And if Cassis is not going to have a big season, Boston's going to be like, oh, we're in a little bit of a trouble in the corner position here with the guy that's not performing. And if they would have gotten rid of him for an arm, that which they need some starting pitching, Boston. But it, like I said, the league has now been reshaped due to Vladdy re-signing, and it's going to be very interesting.
Well, you know what? Here's what they could do. They could turn around, trade Cassis for an arm, and then they can go have a conversation with Pete Alonso. Because they could use a righty bat. They're very lefty-heavy in their lineup. And who's to say this doesn't open the door for the Red Sox to go take a peek at Alonso now?
That's a good point. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I would hate that, obviously, for obvious reasons. I think you would hate that for obvious reasons.
Absolutely.
I don't, I think it's bad enough that you guys have to deal with Pete Alonso 6 games a year. I don't think you want to do it for 13. But, you know, again, this is the Vladdy effect. This is the now this guy signs a contract 2 weeks into the season, and we're already talking about the offseason. We don't even have a full idea. Teams don't haven't even identified themselves yet fully. You know, guys are still working out the kinks of getting through, you know, opening up the year. And we're talking about free agency for the next season.
But it makes this season that much more important.
Yeah.
Now, because of this happening. So, like I said, I think it was great for baseball that it got done in the middle of the year. Great for the AL East. It keeps them formidable. And I personally think we're going to see a lot of things that we don't really, that we weren't really expecting when it comes to some of these free agents.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think it's going to be very interesting to see where we go and where we end up. Listen, guys, I pound this with you with our longer shows, but because it's a short, I'm only going to do it once. So what are your thoughts on this whole situation? Do you guys like the fact that Vlad re-signed with Toronto? Are you a little bitter that maybe you guys are now, the team you root for is taken out of the equation? Do you like the signing bonus idea? Do you like that teams may be opening up to doing this? For maybe small market teams, maybe this could be a door opening for them where maybe, you know, like I said, the teams that aren't spending big money could now open up this realm of door instead of deferring money or not going the Dodger route. They do something like this. Like I said, I love it. It's reinventing things. It's, you know, it's changing things up, but we want to hear from you. So in the comment section of the actual podcast, you guys could leave us your thoughts or the corresponding posts that we're going to put up on Instagram and Twitter. Diamond Discussions 25. We love your feedback. We love to hear from you. Also, just a side note, if you're wondering why we have not mentioned trivia in this episode, it's because it's a short. We don't do the trivia stuff on the shorts. That's for the main stuff.
Right.
Just to clear that up, because I've actually gotten that an off-air question about that. You know, you guys did a short and you didn't do the trivia. Well, we're not doing the trivias on the shorts. Just to, you know,
clarify give that.
Yeah, just to throw that out there. I mean, overall, though, I think this offseason could be very interesting. I feel like we're almost beating a dead horse with that. You know what, though? I think it's going to be fun to see how much more pitcher dominant this offseason gets, and that could balance a lot of things out, you know.
And I'm actually curious to see what Toronto does moving forward with the rest of their team.
They need pitching.
I personally think their bullpen is not good enough. Their back end of the rotation is not good enough. They signed Scherzer, but he's hurt. And I know it was a one-year deal, but it was going to solidify a little bit of the middle of the rotation. And obviously, it's not happening yet because he hasn't been able to pitch. What are they going to do now that they got their big guy? They could start making moves, I guess. But I think the next big thing is Bo Bichette. What's going to happen with Bo Bichette? Does he get traded? Does he stay with the team now because they're trying to build something? I know they have Santander. You know, do they want to do the 1-2 punch of Santander and Vladdy? Or do they want to do a 1-2-3 punch of Bichette, Vladdy, and Santander? Who knows? I think personally, this is just me, I think Paul Bichette is going to get traded for an arm. I don't think...
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think that the Blue Jays are going to be in on free agent pitching. They may. I'm not trying to say that they're going to be completely out, but I think they could maybe spurn him for an arm. Honestly. Someone may need a shortstop. Someone has an arm that they could willing to give, and Toronto strikes a deal. I think that's what we could potentially see.
Yeah, I guess it depends on where they are. And, you know, the funny thing is, too, we've spoken about this on off-air, on-air, on different platforms. I tell you the truth, I can't even remember which platform I said it on, but I know I said it, and I'll tell you guys right now. I had Vlad getting traded to Seattle, and I thought that was going to make things real interesting in that AL West. I thought if Seattle was in striking distance, they were in desperate need of a bat. They have plenty of arms to spare. Who knows if they were able to work a deal out there, but obviously that's not going to happen.
Right,
so,
yeah.
You know, I thought that would have been a nice little fun fit for half a season to see maybe Vlad could have went on a Manny Ramirez to the Dodgers or Cespedes to the Mets type of run, maybe carry that pitching staff into the playoffs, but maybe in another universe we'll get to see that one. But, you know, and the Bo Bichette thing, I don't think is all that crazy. It just depends on if Toronto is serious about keeping him as well. It seems like he wants to stay in Toronto, but I don't know. He's underperformed last season. He seems to be performing well right now.
He's doing pretty decent.
Opened the season up pretty good. But listen, it's a long year. You know, Alonso's hot right now. It doesn't mean he's going to stay that way forever. I mean, he's hitting like over 320, I believe.
Yeah.
Is that sustainable for Pete? He's never done that before. I'd be shocked if he does. But, you know, it's still early. And this is why this is, like, fun and frustrating at the same time. Because you see all these crazy takes. Like, oh, yeah, Trent Grisham is hitting 400.
Right. How long is that going to last?
Like,
like, come on. I love it as a Yankee fan. It's great.
Of course you do.
I'm also expecting.
He won you a game in Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm also I'm waiting for the downfall to come because it's just natural that these guys are not going to hit 400 for 30, 40 games you know, at a time. So, like I said, this is a really, really big thing. I think it took us by surprise, the mid-season signing, especially because, we both said the Vladdy deadline had surpassed and there was no deal. According to Vladdy, they were far off. Toronto wasn't even in the ballpark where he wanted to be, and then a couple of weeks later, here we are. Here we are talking about it and how it affects free agency. And I think this is pretty cool because not a lot of people have been talking about the effects on these other players, both pitchers and position players that are going to be free agents at the end of the season. And I think it's going to be interesting, like I said.
Yeah, and you know what, too? It makes Toronto a lot more appealing now because they have
right, they future. Got their nucleus there, yeah.
They have, like you said, Santander is locked up for a few years. Vladdy is there for life. You got your catcher behind the helm. And Kirk gets a lot of love, from what I understand, with the pitching staff. He's a very good defensive catcher. He's not crazy with the bat, but not a lot of catchers really are. It's very rare to see that, you know. But there is a future in Toronto that could be very enticing, especially to a pitcher, to know that you don't face Vladdy every fifth day or whatever it is.
That's actually a good point.
You know, so I think Toronto has just become a lot more appealing than it's been. You know, they actually have a direction. They have, when a guy gets into the negotiation room, this is what I have. And they're not going anywhere. So I think it just makes them more appealing. And they've been very aggressive with trying to sign some of these big name free agents over the last few years.
Yeah, they have definitely been aggressive. They've struck out when it comes to getting some of these big guys. So the fact they could keep a homegrown piece that they've been nurturing and building for the last few years, keeping them in their organization is a really big thing. And I think, like you said, if they got a couple of pitchers to round out that staff, I think they'd be perfectly fine and they'd be very competitive in the AL East.
Yeah, and you know what? The other side of that too is you and I, we're friends with some Toronto fans, and they were starting to lose it. They were losing faith. They were losing hope in the organization. I'm done with this team.
I can't blame them for that either.
No, not at all.
The way it's been run the last couple of years.
Yeah, and you know now this restores that. We spoke to them after the news broke, and they were the happiest we've heard in a while. You know, they were definitely down in the dumps for a little bit of time, and listen, it just solidifies, I guess, like I said, some sense of stability going forward because you know. There was none. You didn't know, you know, you're going to let these guys walk. And over the last few years, they let certain guys go. Danny Jansen to be one of them, obvious offensive piece for them. They went more defensive on that aspect. They also let Teo go. They traded him. You know, so it was a lot of offensive pieces that Toronto's let go. And it's frustrated the fan base. So obviously this has changed things. And Toronto is definitely happier now.
Yeah, it looks like they had a plan. They kind of stuck with it. And it might not have been all roses and tulips, you know, yeah. The start, and maybe they just had a plan. Like you said, they got rid of all those guys, and they considered them quote unquote dead weight, and now they went this route. So we'll see what Toronto does in the future.
Yeah, and all right, guys, I may have lied to you just a little bit. I promise I'll try to keep that to a minimum, but I'm just gonna let you know again in the comments section of the post. Give us your thoughts on this whole situation, what you think it means for free agency, you know, what's it going to mean, how much more competitive is your team going to be, does this put pressure on your team to maybe sign one of these key guys, and again, in the corresponding post on Instagram and Twitter, Diamond Discussions 25, you know, you could always leave a comment there. I know you guys like our DMs, but you know, we love to see the engagement regardless of where it comes from and what platform it's on. It doesn't matter. We love answering comments and your questions and things like that. But before we wrap, not to end the show on necessarily a down note, but we had some devastating news in the baseball world and just the world in general. A few days ago, a nightclub in the Dominican Republic, the roof had collapsed and caved in, and it effectively took the lives of two former major leaguers. Octavio Dotel famously came up with the Mets. He pitched for the Yankees and a bunch of other teams in the major leagues, and also Tony Blanco, who was, I think you told me this. He was
on the opening day roster for the Nationals, the first game in Washington when they came back to Washington. He was on their opening day roster. So,
And another side of that, too, was Nelsy Cruz. She is the sister of Nelson Cruz. I'm sure a lot of baseball fans remember Nelson Cruz. He's not that far off from, you know, baseball, big power hitter. She had also perished in that as well. And the last I had seen was Pedro Martinez actually had some family members that they hadn't found. They were considered still missing at the time. So, you know, our hearts, our thoughts, our prayers are with every family affected in that situation. It was a very devastating thing to see.
Absolutely. It was just people trying to have a good time, and their whole night was changed and their lives were changed. So, like you said, rest in peace to all those that were lost, and our prayers are with the families of those that were affected as well.
Yeah, so, guys, listen, again, I don't mean to end things on somewhat of a down note, but we had to say our piece on that and you know, obviously bring that up. But, guys, look, it's always a pleasure to sit here and talk and have you guys listen to us. We see the views, we see the comments, we see the DMs, we see it all, and it keeps us going. It keeps us pushing to, you know, try to get an episode recorded. I'm going to show a little face here and be honest with you guys. I can't tell you how frustrating it was to record this episode because we just had so many different technical things go wrong trying to get this one up. That's why it was a little bit of a delay. But you know what? We kept pushing, and you guys are to thank for that, because if we didn't have listeners and we didn't have comments and DMs, you know, maybe we wouldn't push as hard as we do to try to get an episode like this up. And believe me when I tell you, it has been beyond frustrating.
Yeah. And you're talking to two guys that are just learning how to use a computer. So, you know, it's been great experience, obviously, getting to, you know, do this and having you guys interact with us is even better, I think, for us. It just, you know, it keeps us going. Like I said, it makes us, brings up new topics that we want to get you guys involved in, too. So we want we don't want to just be sitting here talking. We want to get you guys involved in these conversations as well. So it's been a breath of fresh air, if you will. So we appreciate everybody that's been listening, liking, and following. You guys are literally the reason why we're doing this, like Mike said. So,
and I'll say it seems to be the thing that I say all the time. Guys, thank you for hanging out with us.